Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Let There Be Talk. It's January 8th, a Monday. Welcome. My guest today, John Five. How fucking cool is that? A guitar god, John Five. You know John Five. You've probably heard him on a million records. The guy's played with Dave Lee Roth, Rob Halford, Marilyn Manson. He plays in Rob Zombie right now, which he's been playing for years and just tearing it up. He also has solo workout. He's on a solo tour coming up here. This guy is a guitar god. Bottom line, the guy can smoke the fretboard. I've seen him play any kind of style, anything. The guy's a human sampler, man. Love it. What a great guest to have on. Man, does he have some amazing stories. I know you guys are going to be blowing up my Twitter like, whoa, my new favorite episode. I listened to it last night. And I was like, oh my God, this is a great one. Sometimes when I'm doing the show, you know, you're so engaged. You're not listening as a fan. You're just listening as a, you know, a conversation. You're having a conversation back and forth. And then you go back and listen to it. And you go, fuck, this is good. I'm tooting my own horn today. This fucking episode's good. I love them all. I love all my guests, and I love all you guys for tuning in. Thank you. Hope you had a great weekend. Fantastic weekend. I did all kinds of stand-up spots at the store and the Laugh Factory. And also, I went to the movies. Saw a little number called I, Tonya. Fuck, this movie's good. Go see it. It's a Tonya Harding story. Fantastic, you know, all about that that incident at the Olympics. The ice skating wars. Who knew that ice skating could be so fucking evil? It's just fucking great. Check it out. What else? Oh, I want to give a shout out to Clips. They sent me some headphones that just fucking blow my mind. I can't even believe these headphones, man. They're almost too nice to use. They're like a piece of art. And then they sound incredible. It's like, man, you don't want to smoke a bomber joint and throw these on. You'll never leave the house. You'll just be like, oh, let's get Boston on, more than a feeling. Man. Anyway, thank you, Clips, for the amazing headphones. And, I want to tell you guys, I'm going to be doing a little live recording at La Jolla Comedy Store January 19th through the 21st down in San Diego. Get your tickets. Let's see what happens. Let's press the gas. Let's press the gas and see if this fucking thing moves. La Jolla Comedy Store, January 19th through the 21st. And tickets are available right now. This episode is brought to you by my fantastic sponsor, El Cajon Harley. El Cajon Harley's been a sponsor for almost 2 years, and these guys are the motorcycle gods. You want to get a Harley Davidson, don't go anywhere else. I'm telling you, go to El Cajon Harley down in the San Diego area, which, by the way, we're going to have a little El Cajon Harley night at the Comedy Store, La Jolla Comedy Store on the 21st, the Sunday night. Anyway, El Cajon Harley, all your two-wheel machine needs, go down there, talk to my boy Greg Riley, get yourself a brand new CVO and Battleship Gray. That's the fucking dream bike for me. I'm loving that thing. I go down the deep rabbit hole every night and look at it. Road Glide. I'm all hot on a Road Glide again. I've had a couple over the years, and I love them. They're like a big FXRP. Just burn rubber with that fixed fairing. They got them down there. They got the Road Glides. They got the Road Kings. They got the Sportsters, the Soft Tails. They got them all on the floor. They also have an excellent used selection, and they do finance. It's pretty damn easy to get financed. Go down to El Cajon Harley. Fly in. Do whatever you got to do. Hit up Greg Riley. Go to their Instagram, El Cajon Harley, or their website, elcajonharley.com. Also, my other long sponsor, which I'm looking forward to seeing at the NAMM show, Earthquaker Devices. Perfect for this episode with John Five, because Earthquaker Devices is all about stomp boxes. You want to get yourself a stomp box to make your guitar sound badass. you got to go to Earthquaker Devices. They've got them all. They've got some overdrives, delays, flanges, all of those. My favorite, they've got the cloven hoof. I don't know why my voice goes to that one every time I read it. Hey, the cloven hoof or the rainbow machine. You ain't got a fucking rainbow machine. You ain't shit. Get the fuck out. Right, that'd be great coming into an audition. What is this fucking horse shit? No rainbow machine. How are you going to make rainbow sounds on your fucking six stringer? You wanker. Get the hell out, you cunt. They're bitching evil times. If you're British, everything's a wanker, cunt, fuck you. Oh, you wanker, get a goddamn rainbow machine. Anyway, earthquakerdevices.com, incredible website. Also, they got the curly cords, they got cool shirts, they got great pedals. They're handmade in Akron, Ohio. earthquakerdevices.com. I love all you guys. Thank you so much for your support going into another year here and still trying to figure out what I'm going to do in life to get to the next level. Looking for the 1,000 true fans, and I know a lot of you are out there and doing it. Thanks for your donations. If you do want to donate to the podcast, it's patreon.com/DeanDelRay. You want to email me, it's DeanDelRay. At yahoo.com, and the new website, deandelray.com, and the YouTube channel, which a lot of people are subscribing. All these podcasts are now on YouTube, my YouTube channel, Dean Del Rey. And some people say they're having a hard time finding it. So just go to my Twitter bio and just click on the link. It's right there. I love all you guys. Let's keep the candles lit. And subscribe and review this on iTunes. Here he is, my man, John 5. All right, here we are, another episode of Let There Be Talk. Great guest today, John 5. How are you, buddy?
I'm well. How are you? Sun is out. It's warm. It's nice. Can't complain.
Yeah, right. Like, I was just in New York all of November, and it got down into the 30s, and I was like, yeah, this is what it is. But when it gets down into the 40s here, you're like, fuck you, you know? Like, that's not why I live here. It feels really cold when it's in the 40s here, right?
Yeah, I just, my wife's like, oh, I left something in the car. Will you go get it? And I'm like, no. No, I won't. I will go get it in July.
Yeah, right?
But in December and January, no.
That's hilarious because you're from like Michigan or whatever, right? Like, yeah. But you haven't been there so long. It's like, fuck you to the cold now.
Yeah,
right?
I haven't been there in so long. And I was worse when I was living in Michigan than I am now because I was so spoiled. My mom, when I had to get up and it was like wintertime, I'm not joking. This is terrible. My mom would put a blanket in the dryer so it was really warm and then wrap me in it when I got up because I hated the cold. And my grandparents were in Palm Springs, so we would come and stay in Palm Springs like every summer, and I just wouldn't get out of the sun.
Just iguana style.
I love it. I love it. And I got sunstroke, but I didn't care. I loved it.
Yeah, because you're pretty pasty like me. You're a super white dude.
Right, yeah.
It's hilarious, right?
Good band name.
Yeah, super white dude.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I ran into you a couple of days ago, and... right around, I have not seen you probably since we did this commercial for Heineken, and it was a Christmas Eve. So I run into you like, I don't know, 7-8 years later, almost to the day. That's so weird how LA works like that, right?
Isn't that crazy?
Just it really is.
Such a small world, and we were at the amazing Crossroads restaurant. Do you go there often?
That was my first time, but I've been told about it many, many times, you know, and I just never get over there. Like, I love that kind of, like, vegan food, like Real Food Daily,
yeah.
Crossroads.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Crossroads. I mean, I'm there all the time.
Are you vegan?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're there because you don't live in town, so you drive.
No. Yeah, and I drive, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, it really is wonderful. And I'm telling you, man, when we were there, my wife wanted to do some shopping. It was a madhouse. Yeah. It was like it seemed like there was a billion people right in that couple of 5 or 7 square miles. And then, you know, once you get on the freeway, nobody was on the freeway.
No one was on the freeways. That's because we were pretty close to the Grove.
Yeah.
And the old Fred Siegel, and all Beverly the shopping and all spots. Yeah.
And where did I go? I went to the Grove. Oh. And I went to Beverly Hills and all that stuff. It was madness.
Did you ever live in Hollywood?
Oh, yeah, forever. I from like 89 till about like, you know, 93, I'd say.
And you just got out, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So I lived in Hollywood. Man, old Hollywood was great. It was so cool because it was, you know, chicks and like the
decadence. Dirt cheap, too.
Dirt cheap. I remember I would go on Hollywood Boulevard at like 2 in the morning. They had this pancake special you could get for like $2, and it was all you could eat and all this stuff. It was just so great. We would like try to pick up girls. Those were some good times. I remember walking on Sunset and, you know, during the weekends and to go see the bands and everything. You couldn't even walk on the sidewalk. You were walking on people's ankles like at concerts.
And flyers everywhere.
Everywhere.
I've told this story many times on the podcast, but the telephone poles were just pregnant with flyers, you know? And it was really like, that was one of the most bizarre things ever. The amount of people that were just drawn to those two blocks from, say, the Roxy, or sorry, the Rainbow, down to the Whiskey, you know, it was insane.
It was the greatest, best experience. It was so much fun. It was like this. It was Cat House on Tuesday.
Yeah.
It was Bordello on Thursday.
Bordello, man. I got a photo of Axel and I right over there at Bordello,
dude,
man.
I loved Bordello. And then the Whiskey and the Roxy and Gazzari's and the Rainbow on the weekends and stuff like that. But, and then you got into, you know, Hollywood Live.
Yeah.
You know, and Red Light District. Yeah.
What was that one place? The Circus or something? I forgot what that was called, on Santa Monica.
That's right. That's
right. There's all these crazy things that used to go down. Yeah, it was all rock.
Yeah, it was all rock. Everything was rock.
Yeah,
it was. Everything was rock, and it was so much fun.
And you know, to put an equivalent to it, everything's hip-hop now, but it's not like... you know, you go, it's not like there's 4 million like hip hop live clubs.
No.
You know, like, you know, there's not a bunch of live hip hop.
Right.
Where that's all studio stuff. So I think that's why you don't have people out at like hip hop scenes, you know, of like every night there was rock shows going on.
Every single night, every place, everywhere were all rock shows. But yeah, the hip hop thing is, it's a, you know, a lot more difficult to, you know, to get that studio vibe on stage.
Yeah. You know, yeah, absolutely. And it's all about busting out tracks at your house on the computer and then trying to get it out there in the mainstream.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, where rock was like, it was an organic thing of like, you see it live, it made you feel something, then you signed the band, and then you put it out there, and other people felt it, you know?
Yeah, it was so exciting. I mean... We've all seen a zillion bands, and you know all the bands would all hang out at the clubs too. You know, like Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses, and you know all those guys would just hang out at these clubs. I remember, you know, David Lee Roth was always at Bordello for some reason. He liked to go to Bordello and all that stuff. So it was what a great time.
Yeah, it really was. I definitely love that time, but I also don't, I'm not stuck in it like a lot of people, you know, where I call them hair metal tumbleweeds,
right,
where they're like, what happened? You know, it's like, you know, of course, if that was still going on, we would be long bored with it. You know what I'm
absolutely.
Saying? That's why it's so beautiful to us. It was like, wow, man.
It was such a, I mean, yeah, you listen. You got to go home sometime.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you got the lights of the party you have to turn on and everybody's got to empty out, you know, but that's why eBay is so popular. It's all nostalgia.
That's it.
You know, it's
$6 million man doll I'm looking at last night.
Yeah,
you know,
of course, you know, Stretch Armstrong, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's all nostalgia. And, you know, we like to reminisce.
Yeah.
And because we were there, and it's fun to reminisce with people that were there. But, you know, if you said to me, hey, there's going to be a this and that reunion.
Yeah. Right?
We'd both be like, well, you know, maybe I'll go, you know, but it's, you know, you're absolutely right. It's fun to like relive it and talk about it and stuff like that. It was a great time and I'm glad I experienced it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've even kind of put the kibosh on going to see bands that I've seen more than 3, 4, 5 times now.
Yeah.
Because I usually caught those bands right when they were igniting. And that is, it's like, I don't know if you ever smoke crack, but that's like smoking crack. The first hit is like, whoa. And then the rest of the time you're chasing it. You're like, well, I saw these guys on the Nothing Shocking tour.
Right.
I saw these guys on the Appetite and the Illusion tours.
Right, right.
I saw these guys on the Eat 'Em and Smile tour. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And it's cool for other people, but I like to get out there and see new stuff, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Which it's... You know, I'm always looking for inspiration. And when you can find inspiration, it's incredible because it'll change your life. You could hang on to that inspiration forever. And it's an epiphany because it'll be like, oh, my God, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, it like first time you saw Kiss or whoever, and it just changes your life.
You remember the first time you saw Kiss?
I do. I was in Sears and it was like 1977. And I was walking through Sears, and I saw a big display for Love Gun.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. 1977, 78, and I could not believe it. And I got the record, and that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. You know, those little moments that you hang on to and will hang on to you as well.
Yeah, is that the gateway for you? Because Cedric Bixler coined the phrase "Kiss." It's either Kiss or Zeppelin. Whenever anybody that's ever sat on this couch, most of them say Kiss, mm-hmm. and then if they're older, they say, "Well, Zeppelin." You know what I mean? But to me, it was definitely Kiss. You know, it was that Alive too with the tattoos inside it and the little tour book. You know,
yeah, of course.
And you know, I saw him on the Dynasty tour and just lost my mind. You know.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's so funny because to me at the time in 79, Kiss seemed as big as they were in 77. They were massive.
Yeah.
But as I get older now, a couple of years ago, I'm reading. I love to read like stuff on tours.
Sure.
And so there I am reading the history of the Dynasty Tour. And the thing was canceling all over the place. I think the San Diego show didn't happen. Like tickets weren't selling. I was like, how's that possible? It was sold out at San Fran at the Cow Palace.
Wow.
And they had a huge hit. I Was Made for Loving You. Of course, some people didn't like that. And other people grew older and didn't listen to Kiss anymore. But when at 79, Kiss seemed just as big to me as 77, you know?
79, I think, was a successful tour. Then, you know, then it started, you know, it started going down a little bit, but what happened? Oh my God, this is the magic.
Yeah.
They go, let's go to Australia.
Yeah.
And they went to Australia. They had Unmasked that came out and it was so big. They were like the Beatles over there. It was massive. I mean, 100,000 people in the street.
Yeah.
Waiting for them at their hotel. I mean, it was massive, you know, and, that was what a smart move.
I go, I saw the Creatures tour, Motley opened, and San Francisco Civic. And to me, the Vinnie Vincent era really recharges the band to me. Yeah. And to this day now, the Creatures record is my favorite, even though Vinnie
great
didn't
record.
Play on that and stuff. You know, great fucking record.
Great record. Great record. Every song on that record is really cool. And they came off of, you know, The Elder and all that stuff. So they, you know, it was a really, really smart record for
them. I love The Elder now.
You like The Elder?
I love The Elder now. I bought The Elder when I was a kid. Yeah, The Oath was the video, you know.
Yeah.
I bought it as a kid and I was just kind of like, oh, you know, like, what's going on here? And then later you just go like, oh, well, The Elders, I got it on vinyl, and I just worship everything about it. You know, I think what the Bob Ezrin or whatever, the Pink Floyd guy does there's mad cocaine going on.
And it's probably my least favorite album in, you know, because I'm a 73 to 82 nut. You know?
Right.
So that was my jam, you know, but I love the guys, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So you move out here and, you know, you're like, who were your guitar guys? Was it Ace? Because your guitar playing is absolutely insane. When we were doing that commercial,
yeah.
I'll fill people in. It was this Brad Pitt commercial, Super Bowl commercial for Heineken.
Right.
And it was only going to play once in the States. And it was him. He's out of beer. He looks out. There's paparazzi. He like zip lines over him, lands on a car, gets to the liquor store and stuff. And meanwhile, we're playing these different songs, recording these songs for the thing. I think we did the Beatles.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
we did Hard Day's Night, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we did Help or something.
It was like three songs. Yeah. We were in there. I was singing or whatever. You're playing guitar. Yeah.
Is it online?
I don't know, actually. I should look. Yeah. But I remember the rule was they could only show it once. It was like Brad Pitt was going to get like, you know, $1 million. We're working Christmas Eve. But my point is, you were in there and you were just nailing anything like it was fucking like Human Sampler. Literally, man. I was like, what the fuck? You had that rad telly.
Yeah. You know? I just sit around and play guitar all day. I got up at 8 o'clock and I played for I don't know how many hours until I came here. And then I'll go.
Were you early on into those Varney guys, or was it before that? Like all the Shrapnel guys, like, you know, Greg Howe and all them?
Yeah, it was actually before that. I started playing when I was seven, like, you know, 77, and, you know, got into all the Hendrix and the Kiss and the, you know, the everything, Ozzy, and then I got into the Shrapnel guys, the Greg Howe, the Gilbert, and the Yngwie, and the, you know, Cacophony, and all that stuff. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, Greg Howe, remember that, did you ever see the Greg Howe band with his brother singing?
No.
Holy shit, man, these guys, when I first met them, because I knew all those guys through Varney, they would do, like, the Fair Warning record.
Uh-huh.
Fucking note for note.
Really?
Note for note, dude.
Interesting.
The brother could sing exact a day, and it was like rad, man. And I was like, whoa, these guys are great,
that's,
you know?
So cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, man.
Now that's another YouTube I gotta go home and look up.
Yeah, I wonder if I can't even remember if they like played live. I just met them and they played like once, you know, like they were doing a record for Shrapnel, and they played like on like a jam night in San Rafael or something. Wow. They were ripping out some Van Halen, Fair Warning. They said they would do the whole record for
that's
fun.
So cool. That is so
yeah,
cool.
Right?
Yeah, Greg's a good friend of mine, so I got to hit him up about that.
That's yeah, great. Ask him about that, yeah. Man. I haven't seen that guy in years. Where does he live? Like,
I think he lives in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow. All those guys live in Vegas now.
Yeah, everybody.
Even Varney.
Yeah, everybody lives in Vegas. Where did I... he's got a new... He just joined a new group, and I think it's... Oh, it's called Protocol 4 with... Simon Phillips.
Yeah.
Greg's in it, and it's really, really cool. Really great stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, really great.
So it's interesting on the hired gun thing, you know, there's so many guys, and it seems to be like there's a group of guys that do all the work, you know? Right. Like, yeah. So if you look at you, you played with, you know, Rob, Lita Ford, Marilyn Manson, you know, Katie Lang.
Yeah, Roth.
Roth. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, the hired gun thing is, it's definitely scary, right? Like, if you see the one guy, he's playing with some pop girl and then he's just gone the next day, you know, after 2 years, you know?
Yeah, it's how it is. You know, that's why, you know, you don't get comfortable, you know, because you never know when it's going to end. But, yeah, I've always been a hired gun, and, this very, very first time, I'm doing my own thing called John 5 and the Creatures, and it's this instrumental thing that I didn't really think anybody would care about, and it's really popular.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. But just on that small scale, it's tough to you know, to be the boss. You know,
yeah.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah,
'cause I'm
yeah.
used to, like, you know, getting off the bus, stretching, and then, like, you know, just going to get some catering, play guitar, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And that's it. And go on stage, you know. But now there's all these responsibilities, you know.
Yeah, you might have to do radio. You got to do promo.
Oh,
you got to hire the dudes to play in your band. You got to book this rehearsal studio.
Yeah, this guy's bummed out. That guy's sick. You know, the promoter this and... You know, so there's a lot going on, but it's a lot of fun. I've been having a blast with it. And we play like, you know, I think we did like 22 shows in a row because there's no singer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, so we just play every night.
No singer.
Yeah, no
singer. I never even thought about it. It's like, yeah, if Robert Plant was listening to this right now, he'd be like, fuck you. We played every night with a singer.
Yeah. So it was, you know, it's great. You know, I'm about to hit the road. February 1st is the first show in Florida. And, you know, I think we have 16 in a row coming up.
Yeah. That's rad, right?
Yeah, so it's great.
Now, are you still playing the those like kind of John 5 tellies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the telly. You know, it's funny to think about this, but it's our first solid body electric guitar. Now, if you take let's use a car for an example. Like in 1950, when the guitar came out, you know, the guitar hasn't changed much at all.
You can get
the exact same guitar from 1950. And you could buy one at Guitar Center 2017, the exact same thing.
Yeah, you could buy a Nocaster Relic that would almost be exactly the same. A Blackguard Butterscotch with the cloth wiring.
Everything.
And the same kind of fucking thermometer case.
Just imagine, though, if you went, the normal person went to buy a car.
Yeah.
1950. You'd be like, what is this thing? What do you mean there's no power steering? What do you mean the brakes don't work that well? What do you mean, you know, I can only go this, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy also that Leo didn't play an instrument.
No.
So he just nails it, and he didn't fucking play, you know? And these amps, like the Tweed Deluxe and the Basement and shit, these are all the Tweed Twin, high-power twin that Keith Richards uses.
That's right.
These are all stuff that were made in 1950 and are still used right now and to like nothing beats it.
It's just like if I was like, hey, I'm going to come out with high heels.
Yeah.
And I nail it. Obviously, I don't wear high heels.
Yeah.
But I, you know, if I nail it with the women's shoe, like, how did he know about guitar? He didn't play guitar.
Yeah, you know? I know. I just don't.
That's what's so weird.
That blows my mind, right?
But what a genius, you know?
Yeah.
And,
when I was young, I hated the telly.
Yeah.
I always thought it was like, oh, that's such a non-rock guitar. And then I realized later on, all the best rock people play it, you know? Keith Richards, Bruce Springsteen, all the guys. It's the blue collar.
Jimmy Page.
Jimmy Page, man, on the 69, the Dragon one. I love it. It's the blue collar rock machine.
It's a difficult guitar to play.
It is.
And
it'll expose you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can't hide behind that. And, but it was the guitar that like I saw when I was a kid because I loved Hee Haw and they all played Telecaster.
Oh, you like Hee Haw? I used to watch that too.
Oh,
right?
My God. I love
Yeah, the Buck
Hee-Haw.
Owens, all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I like, you know, Big Jugs and Telecasters.
Yeah.
Know, it was all Hee Haw. And, you know, they all played Telecasters and I just knew I wanted to play guitar. I wanted to play electric guitar. So the only thing that was burned in my head was a Telecaster. I didn't even know there was any other shape. You know, I was so young.
Right.
So I think that's why I played tellies today.
Did you have telly first when you were starting?
No. I got a Stratocaster because, you know, my mom got it for me for Christmas when I was like 7 years old. And, you know, I was psyched.
Actual Fender or copy like a Seville?
Actual Fender. They didn't have any other.
Wow.
They didn't have any. This was before, you know, the Japanese or
Mexico
versions or anything.
That right.
Was 1977. So it was a Fender Stratocaster.
Whoa, just a CBS.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Black, like big headstock Hendrix.
Big headstock Hendrix. It was cream. Black pickguard, white knob.
Polyurethane paint.
Yeah, yeah.
No nitro.
Yeah.
With fucking no cloth wiring.
No,
just,
no, yeah. No. It was great. And that's what
almost the Yngwie, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I, you know, learned on and played all the time.
You still got it?
Here's the story. You might need a tissue, but I went to go meet Stevie Ray Vaughan. I was playing for a while.
Yeah.
It was probably like, I don't know, 83, when he was first coming up, and I met him at he had a signing, and I brought the guitar, and he wrote, "To John, play with feeling, Stevie Ray Vaughan."
On the guitar.
On the guitar. My guitar that I, you know, grew up with. and I, you know, had it. My mom was a artist, so she put a nice glaze over it so it would never come off. And I, you know, here comes Van Halen.
Oh shit!
Here comes Van Halen. I'm like, oh, you know, and I loved Van Halen, and I traded it for like a shitty Kramer.
Oh yeah, we're at like Guitars R Us or something.
Yeah, something like that. I was heartbroken.
Wow,
it was terrible. Oh. So that guitar is out there somewhere.
You know, Albert, you know, owned Guitars R Us, cross street from Guitar Center.
Remember the dogs?
Yeah. Oh no, that's around the corner. That's the fucking Voltage. That's Lloyd.
Lloyd,
which is
Voltage Guitars.
There's a great story that I heard that Lloyd sold Lenny Kravitz a supposed Seafoam Green Strat or Fire Mist Purple or whatever. Yeah. And Kravitz found out it was fake. It was a refin and brought it back. And Lloyd was like, get the fuck out of here, man. And Kravitz punched him.
Really?
That's the story I heard, man.
That's amazing. You know, I think he has a store. I think he had a store for like 10 minutes on Ventura.
Really?
Near this restaurant. And he was the same guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, Lloyd was so old school. He was like early on, man. Like I remember he had...
He looked old back then.
He looked old back then, and so did his greyhounds.
Yeah, and his greyhounds. And, he looks like Yoda now. He's like really old.
Yeah.
Because this was... I saw him not too long ago, but yeah, what a great store.
Well, the other guy, Albert at Guitars R Us, he, if you ever see the Japanese Burst book, he owns a lot of those in there, including one of the lightest ones in the world. And he had, I think at one time, 1359 Bursts.
Jesus.
And he talks about how he'd get them. He said these guys would come in while Eddie was hot, and they'd just go, oh, I don't know, this Gibson here, let me get that Jackson on the wall. And he'd just trade them, and he got all these. And then G&R hits, and then, you know, Les Pauls are hot again. But, yeah, you know, now they're, you know, they're all like zillions of dollars, you know?
I know. Everybody back then were buying the pointy guitars, as I call them.
Yeah, yep, you absolutely know? I mean, you had to have that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It was like you're trying to sling it around your neck.
Yeah,
you know, it's the Cinderella save me look, you know.
Yeah just, you know, either you strangled yourself or the guitar went flying off your back.
There's so many great YouTube videos of guitar best. Failure. Like where it'll hit the drummer or the bass player or whatever. It'll just come off the strap into the crowd.
Oh, my God. Now, those are like great moments.
Those are some of the funniest shit you could see on YouTube.
I had a moment like that. I had to have. Everybody has a moment like that.
Well, yeah, you got to practice it, and you're not doing it right out of the gate.
No, you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
Just think of, hey, what you doing today? I'm practicing. Well, I don't hear anything. Well, I'm practicing.
Yeah, in the backyard.
Yeah, you're just swinging that thing around.
Yeah. Warrant had it down. All the guys would do that while they're dropping to their knees and throwing a fist in the air.
You know what I couldn't really ever really even comprehend is when they did it backwards.
Yeah, the other way.
That was so odd to me. Like, I couldn't even think of doing that because you're pushing it this way, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I could imagine doing this.
Yeah, because it's coming around.
Coming around. But yeah, when you're like throwing it, should we try it?
Steve Vai killed it when he was in David Lee Roth doing it.
Yeah. He had a couple fails too.
That's
on video. But Yngwie does it like so gracefully.
Oh, man. Yngwie, like everything's perfect.
Yeah, it's just like he's walking and he does it. You know, he can do it so easy.
I had him on the show. What that guy's. I love him. He's so insane.
How was he?
Not good. It was tough. Tough interview. First of all, I thought we were going to do it in person, and it turns into it's a phoner. And I never, ever, ever do phoners because it's so impersonal and sounds like shit. And not only is it a phoner, but he's driving around in his Ferrari right now.
Awesome.
I go, you still got your Ferraris? He's like, I'm in one right now.
That's great
though, man.
I love it. That's why we love Yngwie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, now, let's get in it. There's a bunch of stuff I wanted to ask you, but of course, I am an absolute Van Halen freak.
Yeah.
You know, especially, you know, Fair Warning, Women and Children, right in that era.
Yeah.
You know, seen them live many times. And, you know, and then the Eat 'Em and Smile. What a fucking masterpiece, you know.
Did you ever have any of the guys on the on your show?
Billy.
How was that?
Unbelievable. Billy. Billy was almost like a ghost to me. Like, he came to the house. We talked for 3 hours. And poof, have not seen him again.
Really?
Yeah. But Billy at the time really gave me some of the most incredible Eat 'Em and Smile stories about them writing that record in Dave's
basement.
In Pasadena.
Yeah.
And putting that together because, you know, that band really has its own sound.
Yeah.
When you listen to that Eat 'Em and Smile record, Skyscraper a little bit, you know, but I love Skyscraper.
I love Skyscraper.
I love it, man. But man, Billy on, and Billy is just such a king, and Steve Vai, you know.
Yeah, Dave told me they would rehearse in his basement for weeks before they went in the studio. They rehearsed everything.
Yeah.
Because it was so crazy, you know, it was just like rehearse, 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 rehearse every day, just doing it and doing it and doing it. And but you can tell on that record, man, it's one of my favorite records of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you there at the Almost reunion?
No, you know, I was gonna go down there, and then it was such a mad. I knew it would be a madhouse because it leaked, and then I guess Dave walked up and then turned around and left because the fire department was there or whatever. But were you there?
Now let me tell you a great story.
Yeah,
this is so wonderful. So, what was that thing called?
It was like the Rock Bowl thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. So they had this night.
Yeah, and I used to host it. I was like the guy that would bring people on.
Yeah.
And then that Chuck guy got me fired or whatever.
Okay.
The guy was just rude all the time. Chuck from Quiet Riot.
So I got invited, and I was invited, and I was always on the road or I was doing something. And I said, okay, I can come down. And I had no idea that Dave and Steve and Billy and, you know, Greg.
Yeah.
I had no idea they were coming. Okay.
Right.
I swear on my life. And I was like, okay, guys, we're going to do these songs and we're going to do this. We're going to do this. And I get to the place. The place is absolutely jam packed. I was like, whoa, you know, there's a lot of people here.
Yeah.
And,
it's almost like old school.
Yeah. And it was like, you know, advertised I was going to be there. And I was like thinking, oh, okay. You know, I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
And then a friend of mine said, I think David Lee Roth is here. And I know Dave really well.
Right.
Dave won't go out anywhere. You know, I'm like, I don't think he's here. I highly doubt he's here. No, I think he's here. And I was like, okay. So, you know, I'm getting ready to go on. I see Steve Vai. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And I see Murillo, and I see you know, all these musicians. I'm like, what is going on? We go on there. I'm telling you, we killed.
Yeah.
We killed. The place goes absolutely bonkers. And I'm like, this is like the greatest thing ever. And they shut it down. And I'm like, what's going on? And then I see, go backstage, and there's Dave and Steve and Billy.
Wow.
And Greg, and they're all back there. I'm like,
so Dave was actually made it into the building.
Oh, he was there. I was talking with him. I was like, hey man, listen, make sure you know, you sing the right version. Don't sing the
Spanish version.
The Portuguese version.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you know, we're laughing, we're having yuck yucks, and I remember they're shutting the place down. So I was the last act to go up there. And Steve, I remember Steve Vai was so like, we got to do this. We got to do this. Because the whole place obviously was there to
right.
see this magic thing. And I think he actually went on stage, and people were, you know, getting ushered out, and people were so confused. And then it just shut down.
Yeah, it's crazy because, I mean, you know, Dave, I opened some shows for Dave. And so I often wonder if Dave is never on, not on. I don't know who Dave is as a person because I've only know Dave from interviews or meeting him backstage and talk to him from opening him. He's always on like, I tell you, one time I was on a plane,
yeah.
747. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I always like wonder, like, who is Dave? You know what I mean? It's Is he like a guy who's been famous so long that he's kind of like just shell-shocked? Or is there actually a side, Dave, that's like, all right, here's what's going on?
Okay, yeah. So yeah, a lot of people ask me, you know, what is Dave really like when you're at his house, you're just hanging out.
Right.
You know, you're just chilling. You're not doing anything. I will tell you, he is the smartest. Smart.
Right.
Beyond smart.
Of course.
And funny.
Yeah.
Really quick funny. Not like...
Oh, he's really funny.
Not telling yuck yucks, but like really funny. And he's got the best memory.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got the best memory. So he'll tell, you know, stories. He'll tell Van Halen stories. He'll tell, you know, I used to smoke pot right over there when I was 15 and stuff like that. You know, just... He didn't, you know, do the, you know, David Lee Roth thing. We were just like this, just talking and all that stuff. But like, you know, what a great guy.
Oh my God. You know, the Eat 'em a Smile tour. I saw the Eat 'em a Smile tour a couple nights.
Too, yeah.
I think Cinderella opened for him.
Yeah.
That band, you know, unfortunately, that band, I think, wrote out of Dave's key, especially those guys. They're playing with, you know, like Steve Vai playing with like Zappa.
Yeah.
He's not, you know, and then, you know, Billy Sheehan, you know, that's some high shit up there.
Right,
Shabba, you know.
Kind of like what Michael did too.
Right, exactly.
You know?
So to think that he could go out and sing that stuff right now would be crazy, you know, because... that is some really hard shit to sing, you know? And so I don't really know if it would, it's almost better that they don't do it because it was so monumental.
Yeah.
That tour. But of course, on the other coin, you toss, you're like, well, God, I'd love to see that again. I was a kid when that happened.
Well, I'll tell you, he's been singing a lot.
Yeah.
And, I went to the, you know, when...
Now, you guys recorded a bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah,
recently that's never come out?
Right. And it's I don't know if it's going to come out. He has everything.
Right.
And I'll give you one title. It's called Somewhere Over the Rainbow Bar and Grill.
Wow.
So, great stuff. And he was singing just amazing. And there were glimpses of, you know, because I love women. I love every band.
Right.
Van Halen record there is.
Me
too.
Love them. Diver Down.
Oh. So I'll be playing with him and we'll be singing and doing that thing. And, you know, we've heard these records a zillion, quadrillion times.
Absolutely.
Right? So we'll be writing, we'll be jamming together, and there will be glimpse of like, oh my God, that's that voice I've heard a zillion times.
Right.
And it just like gave me chills. Like that's... My friend is that guy.
Yeah.
And that's what was so weird about it.
That old Dave is talking, you know?
That old Dave is talking, and that's how his voice sounds.
Like right.
When he'll call, John, it's Dave. It's Dave Roth. And it sounds like he's singing, you
exactly.
know, when he's talking. It's really...
But I know people that can't hear lower registers anymore. Like, my ears are fried, you know, like
bass. Are your ears fried?
My right ear is trash. Really? I was at the movies a couple of days ago at the Star Wars, you know, and they're like, if there's any kind of like whispering or lower level, I'm like, what the fuck's going on here, you know?
And at parties, like, it's hard to hear people.
Yeah.
It just gets...
But I know that when people's ears are fried, it's hard to sing in the lower register, which is not really super low, but it's like, you know, that, you know, this is on, this is Mean Street, you know, so I get it. But man, I would love to see that. Or I would love to see even you two go out and do Eat 'em a Smile or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah,
but
I remember one time he goes, John, why don't you come over? We're going to practice our stage moves.
What?
And I was like, okay. And I
practice
was like,
our stage moves.
And I was like, all right, what do you mean? He's like, you know, when I used to like, you know, do a flip over, you know, Michael Anthony and stuff like that. Why don't you come over? We're going to do that. And I was like, I'll be right over. I was like, I'll be right there.
Yeah.
So, do you remember back in the day, man, they would have these, it was was it 4th of July? No, the Memorial Day, Van Halen Memorial Day. And they'd be live on the radio and they'd be talking and stuff.
I do remember that.
So I did one of those with Dave.
Wow.
Yeah. And we were like, and he had all the sound effects and we, It was like so weird because I used to like listen to those.
Yeah, you know, yeah, me
the
too.
Van Halen one. And yeah. They were like partying, sound like they were like having a party and all that stuff. And I did one with Dave and I was like, this is crazy.
I know.
That I'm doing this with this guy that I like, you know.
That is crazy. How about that movie? Did you see that thing?
Which one?
The one he put out, like, while he was
Backyard Barbecue or something?
Whoa, that is the weirdest flick ever.
I put some music in there, and I remember when he was doing some of that stuff. And
I watched it. It is crazy. The drummer from Corn Ray turned me on to it.
Yeah, and it's
wild. Like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, it's crazy.
That guy's a god to me. You know what I mean? He's still one of the guys that'll not stop me in the street. If I saw him and be like, whoa, that's Roth.
You know what I mean? Of course. Because he's never out.
I know. Never out. He's a lot like Jeff Beck. I met Jeff Beck at the 101 Cafe, you know? I was like, whoa, you don't fucking see this guy.
You don't
guy
see that.
Ever.
Guy.
Roth. It's so weird because he's so festive in the spotlight.
Yeah.
You think he's like, you know, I travel the globe. I've been to the jungles. I'm in the jungle studs. Look at that, you know. But it's like, I think he's up in Pasadena just smoking reefer, you know.
And
he's all weird with those dogs, training dogs. And then he's a ninja. Then he's got a bodysuit.
Because he's so smart. He's got to be doing something.
Yeah.
He's got to be doing something. I mean, it's funny. I'm just telling Ross story. But he was an EMT,
yep.
And we were recording, and he was showing my guitar tech some moves, and he if someone had their legs broken, their arms, and they couldn't move, he had this like how do I explain? It kind of looked like a karate belt,
yeah.
Like, you know, if you get a black belt, and he wound it around him, around his like armpits, and he would drag. He dragged my guitar tech around the room like really easy. And he's, you know,
show you how to move someone if they were down.
And show you how to move something if they were down. But he didn't have to use a lot of strength because it's the way he wrapped it, you know, because he's so smart and he would like learn these things. And then the next day, we were coming in the studio the next day, and my guitar tech goes, dude, look at my underarms. And they were all bruised. But he didn't want to say anything to Dave.
Yeah, you fucked me up, Dave.
He didn't want to say anything to Dave because he was like getting tortured, but he was like, this is the greatest.
Dude, that's so great. He's just getting complete broken ribs from the belt.
Getting tortured. And he's like, see, this is how you do it.
My buddy, Dove Davidoff, who's a comedian, was just recently on the show, and he rented an apartment to Dave in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
And Dave learned to fly a helicopter, knocked on his door, and said, let's fly around the Statue of Liberty today. And he was out with Dave in a helicopter.
Did he do it?
Yeah, he went with him. Wow.
Shit, dude, I would never do that. Like, you know, I've been driving with Dave, and it's like, no, I don't want to drive with Dave anymore. But he said, let's go kayaking. I was like, no, absolutely
let's
not.
Let's go kayaking.
I'm not going kayaking.
What's the music sound like you did? Because to me, I really feel like Roth does not like rock. Years ago, like if you read that manager book, of course, years ago, he was a rock guy and everything. But then, you know, when he puts that Just a Gigolo solo EP out, you know, it seemed, and then he even did the big band stuff and everything. Seemed to me like for years he struggled and really wanted to be like a big band, kind of almost a Vegas Elvis kind of guy, you know.
Well, I did that record with him, DLR band, and that was like, you know, that's like old Van Halen and stuff. But this record that we did, I guess the best way, I mean, it's so good.
Well,
Jesus, it's so good. There's a song on there that will bring tears to your eyes if you were a Van Halen fan. And it just talks about the, you know, the days.
Oh, like Damn Good Times was incredible.
It's kind of like Damn Good.
I love that song.
So it's like that. But I would say the record sounds a lot like, you know, it goes through so many things, but there's glimpses of like Women and Children First, like, you know, Could This Be Magic?
Wow.
You know, really great shit. Man.
Right. And you think it'll come out?
He's singing in that low thing.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
Oh.
Especially that Good Times. He's like, hey, look at that. You remember, that was me and you.
After this, I'll play. I think I have something on my phone I'll play.
Holy shit, man. Yeah. I got to hear that. You think it'll come out?
I hope so, because it's so good.
Well, what seems to be the thing? We'll move on from this. But,
yeah, but you know, Van Halen.
Yeah, that's got to be done, right?
I don't know.
I know. So weird.
I'd much rather, I love Van Halen so much that I want Van Halen to stay together.
Me too.
More than I want the record to come out.
Me too. Yeah, I definitely want Mike Anthony back in there. I mean, they really need, I think the next move is to have Mike Anthony and then have a super reunion. Again, same with GNR. They've traveled this thing 2 years. Now let's slot in another guy for more ticket sales. You know what I mean? Like, here's Izzy Stradlin or Steven Adler. You know what I mean? Key things in the, don't give it all to them, you know?
How great was Guns N' Roses on these last shows?
Fucking fire.
They just proved everybody, like, this is how it's done, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
This is how it's done.
It's really good, man. It's really good.
Jesus. Like,
Slash sounded great.
Yes, of course. Slash always sounds great. But you know what's weird is, like, what's going on with the Superman Axel, like, he's like a Superman. Is he like a real person?
I don't know what's going on that. Running
AC/DC,
around,
singing, running around, singing. I mean, it's incredible.
Cowboy boots on, you know, running in boots.
Unbelievable.
And he's in there like, I'm on the night train. He's hitting it perfect.
Great.
He sounded great, man. Even Rocket Queen, which he said in an interview once that it was the hardest tune to sing because it's so fucking high, you know.
Yeah.
Rocket Queen is absurdly high if you listen to it when it comes on, you know.
Yeah, if he, like, did an interview and took his head off, and it was wires and stuff, I'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, I got exactly
it.
Right.
I got it. That's how it happened.
You know, I've often heard stuff about people that can get, like, node surgery and their voice is back into, like, I had heard that Eddie Van Halen had stem cell surgery in Germany on his hands, and he was like, my hands are like a 16-year-old again. Yeah, I can just burn rubber. And I've heard that if you got, like, node surgery, your voice is back to phenomenal. But some people, it just doesn't come back, you know, Paul Stanley and stuff, But Axel, you know, over the years, I saw every incarnation of Guns N' Roses, Buckethead and Josh Freezer, all that stuff, you know, Brain on drums. And they're always saying, like, he can't sing at all. And I was like, nah, man, he sounds great. I don't know what show you're at, but I'm a fucking singer and he sounds great. When he was running around, yeah, he'd be winded, you know.
Right.
But if he stood in one spot and just sang My Michelle, you would lose your mind, you know.
You know, the same thing with Paul Stanley. I heard Paul, you know, recently. Sounds amazing. Dude, this guy sounds killer. But, you know, if who knows if you have a cold or something's going on and people have their phones out and it's like, you know, like an off night. Everybody has an off night. But
right.
I'd say 99% of the times I've heard Paul, he's been amazing.
Well, what's great with them is Gene could sing a lot and you wouldn't even, you know, be, but I mean, there's so many great Gene songs.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd just be like, oh, this is cool. Paul could do like Love Gun and, you know, Creatures or a couple others. And then Gene could sing all kinds of shit and he still could roll for years.
Gene sounds just the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Hasn't changed.
Exactly.
It's great.
Now, of course, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about a great project that I think that blew by, that kind of tripped me out, that nobody really wrapped onto, though, was Two. Two was incredible, man. I mean, it's basically Nine Inch Nails with Rob Halford singing, you know?
That's right, and Trent Reznor was a big part of the record.
Right, and it just sounds fucking great, you know? And nobody really talked about it. Because at the time, Priest was gone. He was out of Priest. Then he does Two for a minute and Fight. And I saw Fight, but Two was interesting, you know?
Yeah. It was so cool. Now, there's a version of Two that... with all the guitars. There's tons of guitars.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if Halford's going to release that, but it's really cool. It's just like hearing, like, if you heard Pretty Hate Machine, but with all guitars or something like that, all of a sudden you'd be like, whoa, this is crazy, you know? But I really enjoyed it. We did some shows and we had a lot of fun, but, you know, that's another
I think you guys played San Francisco.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I went to that, and Rob wore like a fur jacket or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw this band, man.
Yeah.
And it was like a faint like memory to me because it was so long ago. You know, like what year was that?
Oh, God, I'm really bad with years. I'm gonna say, when did Rage Against the Machine come out?
Fuck, that's like 92, right?
I'm going to say 93 or 94,
Let's
maybe.
Let's see here.
Hey, are we on the air? When's the interview going to start? No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, yeah.
Like, we're just talking about, like...
Oh, yeah, well, it's great.
Isn't that great?
I love it. So it looks like it's 95.
Oh, okay. So 94, 95, yeah. So it was... but yeah, what a blast, you know?
Oh, man.
His voice was so on every night.
Oh, God.
What a professional.
Dude, you go Priest?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I am a fucking Priest freak, dude. I've been dying to get Rob on this show for years. And I think beyond it, I met Rob a couple times. And I think, you know, I saw the Point of Entry tour.
Yeah.
And I think the Point of Entry tour and the Screaming for Vengeance tour, those two tours are some of the most violent, molten, incredible performances of metal I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And also US Festival. Those three. Wow. I saw all three
you
of those.
Went to the US Festival.
Oh, God, yeah. 83, dude. God. Changed my life.
Jeez.
Changed my life.
Dude, you went to the US Festival.
Yeah, dude. It changed my life, man.
That's ridiculous. I watched that on TV.
Oh, it's my, you know, I'm good friends with Nikki Six, and I talk.
Nikki Six, I talk to him every 5 minutes.
He's I love Nikki.
Great, great friends.
Yeah, yeah, right. You guys are. You did the riff, and you're always at his house and stuff.
He's always at mine. He came over for Christmas and stuff, yeah.
I was at his house recently playing guitars in the backyard on those little Yamaha amps.
Yeah.
Those things are
cool.
Great.
Yeah.
I got to get one.
And the dogs.
Yeah, the dogs. He's definitely out there in the chill zone, boy.
I know. But now, you know, because he loves to be outside, and now that it's cold, he's got to be inside. He loves the outdoor living.
Shaved his beard yesterday.
I know.
Wow.
I said, dude, you look too young.
too young to fall in love, son.
That's what I said.
Rob, man, you know, like, what is your, what was it like to work with Rob, man? Because he is just so fucking great.
I have great, great stories. He, I went to, what was it? The Scream for Vengeance tour, something like that. I was so young and I wanted to get his autograph.
Yeah.
It was raining.
Yeah.
And they pull up and I was like, Rob, can you sign this? He walked right by me.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Didn't stop.
Yeah.
And so I gave him shit about that, like when we were in the band.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
You walked right by a little
He is a little
kid.
Irritable. He is irritable.
He, you know, of course he didn't remember. He's like, oh, Johnny, I'm sorry, you know.
He was eyeballing me at the concrete convention back in the day.
Uh-huh.
It was awesome. We were in an elevator, and I was wearing, like, camo pants, and he's like, nice pants.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, Rob was digging me.
That's awesome. He, so I went to go meet Halford and flew into...
For, like, the audition?
I don't know if it... You know, I don't even know how it all came about, but I was going to meet Halford and I flew into Vegas. And when I fly, you know, I like to have a little snacky poo.
Yeah.
You know, like to have a little snacky snack on the plane.
Yeah.
So, and I'm flying there and I love Reese's peanut butter cups.
Yeah.
So I had Reese's peanut butter cup and I had two of them. I ate one and then I had it in my pocket. And then, you know, I put it in my back pocket.
Oh,
and I
no.
forgot about it.
Oh, no.
So, Phoenix, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know, like 200 degrees there, right?
Yeah.
So, I walk into his place. I'm like, hey, all right. You know, and it's kind of like awkward.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, what's going on? I remember I had black jeans on and he had a white couch.
Oh, no.
So, I sit down on his couch.
No.
And we're talking just like we're talking. And he's like, and I'm like, this is a nice guy. And I went, oh, shit.
No fucking way.
So I was like, okay, don't panic.
Yeah.
Maybe it didn't open.
Oh, no.
So Rob goes, do you want something to drink? And I said, I usually turn things down.
Yeah.
No, don't worry. I'm okay. I said, absolutely.
Yeah.
I wanted something complicated to drink. Like, I would love fresh squeezed orange juice. And, you know, but yes, I said, yes, I would love something to drink. So he, as soon as he got up, I got up really quiet.
Yeah.
And sure enough, there was something. And I turned the cushion around.
No.
I turned the cushion around, slid it under.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sat like this now because it was all.
Oh,
like
no.
That. So I left. And years later, he found it and he said he thought it was the cat.
Oh,
so if you ever talk to him, ask him about that.
Did you tell him it was you, though?
Yeah, I told him it was me. He goes, he thought it was the cat.
I've been trying to get him on the show. It's like, I don't even know how to get him on. You know, I get all my guests how I got you.
Yeah.
It's just run into you in a restaurant where you do the show. You said yes. Either they say yeah and they walk away and don't do it, or they say yeah and they
how
do
How about Leon at Crossroads?
Who is that?
J.B. Smooth.
Oh, J.B. Smooth. Yeah. Leon. Oh, yeah. He's Leon. Yeah. J.B. Smooth is great, great human, man.
Oh, my
God. What a great human, you know, because I'm a comedian now, and it's just so great when you see comedians make it, you know, in the TV world, you know, as like such a great character.
Yeah.
You know,
I heard him on Howard Stern. He was wonderful. He was just really great.
He's great, man.
Yeah.
Now you're playing with, you played with Marilyn Manson. We all know that.
Yeah.
And that was, that it's gotta be weird. You're not, you don't party at all.
No.
Right. You ever party?
Never.
It seemed like a lot of those kind of shrapnel era guys. You're not a shrapnel guy, but you did a record on shrapnel.
Yeah, I did a few.
Yeah, but I'm saying none of those guys partied.
Yeah, no, I never even had a drink. That's what's weird.
Yeah.
Never had a drink, never did any drugs or anything like that. You know, my family all did that, so that's why I didn't want to do it.
Right.
I was like, you know, and then, you know, when you're on the road, you got to feel good, man. You got to be on top.
Especially
of it.
Once you get older, man.
Yeah.
Like I'm 51, you know, I couldn't imagine just doing shit I was doing 25 years old and then going out on stage the next day. It'd be like, no way.
Yeah. I mean, with Manson, it was like New Year's Eve every night. Every night it was New Year's Eve. I was like, this is insane what is going on.
Yeah, I had some friend that did some artwork for him, and he was like, whoa, this guy's the real deal. I don't know how he's alive.
Dude, it was crazy every night. Every night.
That's wild, right?
But he never, here's what's weird. Like, he was hungover and things like that. But he never got sick. He never got the flu. He was never sick, and I was with him for years, you
right.
know? And I don't think I remember him ever being sick. And I always, you know, thought about this, and I was like, it was puzzling to me.
Yeah.
But I think what he was drinking would, cause a flu is just like, it's you know, it's like a virus or something, but what he was drinking probably killed everything.
Yeah. Like absinthe. He's just drinking that stuff. It's just like, see you later. Yeah.
And I think that kills everything. I really do. Because I never saw
it's wild, right? And also to get up and do that kind of physical show, you know, like that's like a true physical show. And even back when you were playing with him, all the outfits and all that, you know, that's like after a while, you got to just be like, whoa.
He did have a weird like hemorrhoid. And he goes, is this a hemorrhoid? And I remember him, I was sitting down, he stood up and he bent over and spread his cheek.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe what I saw. I said, yup.
Oh, I don't know how he can move. I had one once that was like the size of a lima bean.
Yeah.
And it took me out, dude.
Yeah.
It took me out.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't fly. I couldn't, I wouldn't be able to sing because your butt cheeks kind of clench, and I couldn't, even if I was laying down, it would throb and shit. Like, whoa, man, I had to go get that thing taken care of immediately,
if not sooner.
It's weird how a grown man can be taken out from something like an ingrown toenail.
Yeah.
That'll fuck you up. Or some kind of tooth thing.
Oh, yeah.
Or a hemorrhoid where you are down, man, like severe pain.
Yeah.
Wow.
But
I like that tour. Hey, is this a hemorrhoid?
Yeah, I was like, yup.
Did he go get it removed?
No, I don't think so.
Whoa.
But no, he, you know, and his new record is great. So he's still doing it, man. He's still doing great.
So now you're with Zombie. You've been with Zombie for years. I love fucking Zombie.
I love Zombie. It's like, I wouldn't join another band. I'm so happy where I'm at. And it's like being in a band with your buddies. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Because we'll like call and text each other. And bands don't really do that.
Not at all. Yeah. Not hired guys, like hired guys, you know?
Yeah, even band guys, you know, like, we're like great friends. We're like, did you see this show on Netflix? And like, we'll talk all the time. And he's just a great dude. So, I couldn't be happier. I'm so lucky where I'm at right now, you know?
Well, he created a monster there, you know, because I remember White Zombie on the... on the big record, the 1965, one. I saw that tour many times. They played San Fran like 4 or 5 times as headliners and opening for people.
Yeah.
And from what he took from that to what, and directing and everything, and then kind of brought it all to the stage as this horror thing, because I saw you guys with Ozzy at the, I think it was Staples Center years back or something. But
that's right.
Yeah. But to see this thing is such, it's so phenomenal to see the full vision. And then you get to be in this character, because, you know, it looks like you're having as great of time as, because now you can be like almost like what you grew up on, Kiss, wearing costumes and being a
confetti falling, and the fire and
all that shit, right?
Yeah,
that's fucking great. Is that,
dude? We played a show. We opened up for Kiss in Chicago, and it was like, it was great, man. Because we had all that shit. We had the fire and the confetti and all that stuff, and it was just like, you know, because Rob loves Kiss too, you know, grew up on it. And I was like, dude, look at us. Look at what we're doing. You know, we were little kids and
that's amazing.
Yeah. So it's the best band. We're just finishing up our new record right now.
Oh yeah?
I don't know when it's gonna come out, but you know, a lot of people say this. They say, oh, this next record, blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you, I was a Zombie fan, you know, White Zombie fan, all that stuff. This is his best work to date, I swear.
Really?
My life. Yeah, it's great songs, heavy, perfect Zombie record. I mean, it's his best record.
What style? Kind of Zombie, or is it more industrial?
It's just heavy, great tunes, Zombie.
Wow.
You know, it's just like if AC/DC put out a record and they put out like, you know, Highway to Hell, you know, that kind of thing again. It's that. You know, think of Rob Zombie, that's what the record is. I mean, it's phenomenal.
Wow.
Phenomenal. I can't wait for it to come out.
And you guys are going to tour, right?
Oh, yeah.
When are you guys going out?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure yet of when we're going to go out. And I usually just will, you know, hear about it last. Like, you know, it'll be like, okay, we're doing this, blah, blah, blah. And I'll be like, great, you know. So,
what amps do you use in life?
Marshall 900.
Marshall 900s.
Yeah, I've used Marshalls forever. And I mean, my rig is like a child could run it. You know, I just have a couple stomp boxes.
What do you use stomp boxes?
Just Boss Super Overdrive and a noise suppressor and what else? Chorus sometimes.
Right.
You know, a little delay sometimes. Not on my plane, but just like for a little effect. But not really. I keep it so simple. I want to keep it simple.
And where'd you guys do the record at?
Rob lives half of the year in Connecticut.
Oh, wow.
So we'd fly to Connecticut.
He lives up there?
And he lives here too.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
It is bizarre because he lives in a place and it's like, you know, freezing, it's snowing and stuff like that. And
it's like The Shining.
It's like The Shining. You know, I'm waiting for Scatman, you know, to come walking out and stuff like that and read my mind or something like that. But, and in the summertime, I'm all scared of Lyme disease.
Oh, yeah, I heard that, dude.
So every time I go there, I'm like, coming in the summer, I'm going to get Lyme disease. Coming in the winter, I'm going to get frostbite.
Yeah.
You know?
And you might run into Keith Richards and one of the, he's up there.
A lot of people live up there.
It's wild.
Roger Daltrey.
Wow.
Keith Richards, you know, and he's like, see that house over there? I'm like, yup. And there's not many houses around there. And he goes, that's where Carly Simon and who is she with? James Taylor, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
They live there.
Well, he's a New York guy, right? Originally?
Boston.
Boston, yeah. Then White Zombie moves to New York, I guess. I just watched that documentary, Who the Fuck Is That Guy?
Yeah.
It's the dude that signed them, and he signed Metallica to Elektra and stuff. That's a great documentary on Netflix.
Do you remember Hollywood and Western, The Billiards?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
White Zombie rehearsed there. And I was rehearsing there too with some crappy band and stuff. And I lived there.
Wow.
Remember The Billiards?
That was crazy, absolutely. That place. Absolutely, man. God. That's crazy, right? Hollywood is so wild, man.
It's so wild. It's changed so much.
It has.
It kind of looks like Times Square now. It's all like, you know, tourists and all that stuff, but it used to be a mess.
It's a fortune to live there now, too. Yeah. I'm trying to move back over there, and it's just impossible.
Yeah, it's really expensive.
You know, I'm a fucking poor comedian. I'm like, you know, I think that being in old Hollywood like you and I has kind of ruined me in a way of, like, I can't grasp a one bedroom being $2,100 when it was like $850, you know?
Right.
$850, and no one wanted to live in Hollywood. They were like, I want to live in Santa Monica.
Even or, North Hollywood.
Or North, I want to live out of that shithole.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's like high dollar.
But then it's just like us going to the movie, and we're like, $17 for a movie?
Yeah.
I remember, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but it's really extreme,
But what if I was like, oh, man, you know, movies were like $7. What if I was like, movies are going to be $17.50?
Yeah.
You'll be like, what?
Yeah, but movie pass now, it's $10 a month. You can see as many movies as you want. Bring on an apartment like that, man.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Fucking, these apartments are for comedians and musicians, and they're really nice, but they're 1988 prices.
Right.
It's fucking,
that'd be great.
Fucking tough. What's your house like? Is it loaded with like dolls and memorabilia and toys?
I have a Kiss room that's ridiculous.
You do?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But yeah, I have a, you know, a big, great big giant house, and I love it, and it's fun. You know, I'm psyched.
That's rad. And you're married?
The best wife, and she got me a Kiss pinball machine for Christmas.
Ooh, the new one or the old one?
Oh,
the
old 70s? One, of course. Yeah.
The new one's good, too.
Yeah, I know.
The new one's good.
I have a room that's 73 to 82. That's it.
Really?
Every piece of merchandise is in there. 73 to 82. They're, you know, because people send me stuff, and I'm like, I can't put it in the room. It's not...
Whoa.
You know, to that era.
Are you a Vinnie Vincent guy?
Love Vinnie Vincent.
Fucking, he's going to do that convention. You think he'll make it?
Yeah.
I don't know, man, because I heard he owes a lot of people money, that people sent him money for these box sets. Then he had that guitar company for a while. People sent him money for these Vinnie Vincent guitars that never got delivered. I don't know. It seems to me like people show up with, like, you know, subpoenas and stuff.
I don't know, man.
I tell you what, man. Kiss... with fucking Vinnie Vincent on the Creatures, him playing the Gold Sparkle, Randy Rhoads.
Yeah.
There's no fucking cooler.
Dude, it was so great. I love Vinnie. I saw him on the Vinnie Vincent Invasion.
I did too, at the Stone in San Francisco.
Oh, God, remember the Stone?
I booked that show. I used to book the Stone, dude.
Wow.
Yeah, I was the booker there.
I love that place.
Oh, my.
When did that close?
92, I believe, was the last year.
Wow, what a great place.
Oh, yeah. Did you play there?
Yeah.
Who'd you play with?
I was in a band with, like, oh, God, I don't know who it was, who I was playing with, but we played there a few times. What, it was great.
Epic room.
Oh,
Kiss
epic
played
room.
There on the Monster Tour, the Revenge Tour, sorry.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, and they played the Troubadour. Here,
yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, man. Right. I went out with Gene that night. He's like, let's go out. And I took him to the I-Beam, and we shot pool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
So weird, man. God damn. So you got the old pinball. You got any other pinball?
No, that was it. But the wife is awesome, dude. The new, you know, like...
She's a hairstylist?
Yeah, she's the greatest, greatest chick ever. So everything happens for a reason, man. I'm so lucky.
Yeah,
I'm just so, so lucky. Right now in my life, you know...
Yeah, yeah.
Knock on wood, you know, I'm just so lucky. Couldn't be happier.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the Rob Zombie tour. And, is your solo tour going to be here?
Yeah, we're going to be at the Whiskey, I don't know when, like April or something like that. And those shows are always crazy. Like,
I got to go to that.
Slash comes out, and Zombie comes out, and Michael Anthony comes out.
Oh, Mike Anthony. Where does he live, man?
He lives in the Palisades.
God, I love him.
Yeah, he's great. He came and jammed with me at the It's when we play there, dude, it's like always people coming up and playing and stuff. It's so rad.
Oh, yeah, I got to go to that. What's the date? It's in April?
I think it's in
April.
And
you got a website, right?
And I'm getting Nikki Six. I'm going to have Nikki come and play.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. Your website's john5.com?
Yeah, john-5.com, because john5.com is some religious thing.
Oh.
And I tried to buy it, but it's like, you know, so much money.
Oh, fuck that.
And it's not even an active site.
Oh, that's the worst, right?
So
and they'll
terrible.
Email you like once every 6 months.
Yeah.
Would you care to buy your domain name?
Right, 60 grand.
Yeah, fuck you.
Isn't that crazy?
60 grand, man. That's my rent this year.
Just put a dash in between the John and the five and I'll be fine.
Yeah, you know? Right? It's like not very many people go to websites anyway. It's
it's
you
all
got Instagram and Twitter?
Oh, yeah. John 5 Official. I'm very active on it. Just like Nikki is on his.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll follow you today, and thank you so much for doing the show.
What a great interview. It was just fun. We just chit-chat.
Oh, dude, I could talk rock with you for hours.
Oh, I love it.
That's all I do is talk rock and comedy. You like comedy?
I love comedy. Obviously, I'm hilarious.
Who's your guy?
I don't know. You know, God, it's tough. I would have to say probably Don Rickles.
Oh, yeah.
Where I listen
Rest
to Don,
in peace, man.
Where
what
I
a,
listen to Don Rickles,
guy.
And I'm like, oh, this guy is so funny. Like, when he's interviewed.
Oh, come on, dude.
It's ridiculous.
That guy was incredible.
He was so
the
funny.
Shit he would say, look at you. You look like you got handbags hanging off your eyes, baby. You know, like, oh, like, what?
Oh,
just the shit he would say.
Do you know that Frank Sinatra story? I mean, it's a pretty famous Don Rickles Frank Sinatra story.
What one?
When he's at dinner, when he's on that date.
No.
Oh, dude. Okay, really quick.
Yeah.
This is a true story. True story. It's in Don Rickles' book and all this stuff. So he's Don Rickles. It's back in the day, early 60s or whatever it is, mid 60s. I don't know. He's in Vegas and he's on this date with this girl and he's trying to impress this girl and all this stuff. And he's like, really likes this girl. So he's at dinner and here comes Frank Sinatra walking in the restaurant and he goes and sits down and they're talking and the girlfriend's like, oh my God, that's Frank Sinatra and blah, blah, blah. And so Don Rickles goes over and it's like his friend. It's like if Mickey walked
course.
In, you know. So he walks up to Frank and he goes, Frank, will you please just do me this favor? Just come by the table, say hello. You know, I'm trying to impress this girl. It'll really help me. He goes, of course, no problem. So he goes back and sits down with the girl and they're talking. Here comes Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Walking up to the table and the date's like, oh my God, here comes Frank Sinatra. He's coming right at us. And Frank goes, hey, Don, how are you, buddy? I haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you. And he goes, not now, Frank. I'm on a date. Is that great?
Yeah, make it look like he just shuns Frank Sinatra. Hilarious.
Is that genius?
Oh my God.
Not now, Frank. I'm on a date. Yeah. I'm with somebody.
Get out of here. Scram. No autographs. Oh my God.
Is that
God.
Brilliant?
He Rob Halford him.
Yeah.
See, that's a callback in the biz right there.
Oh my God, that's so great.
Man, I can't thank you enough for doing
thank
the show,
you,
dude.
Thank you.
And
thank it.
You so
that
much.
Was fun.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you at the Whiskey in April. And you got your own guitar out? Fender?
Fender Telecaster,
It's a longer neck, right?
It's a headstock from the 60s, it was called a Maverick, and I just thought it was such a weird-looking headstock. I put that on
I remember the neck looked totally different.
Yeah, it's weird.
I got a killer guitar. I'll show it to you right now. This guy in Michigan made, Carson Hess. He makes these Blackguard Fenders.
Uh-huh.
I'll show it to you before you split.
Cool.
It's incredible. I got an Esquire out of them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, you got any vintage tellies?
Everything.
Oh, yeah?
Everything, yeah.
One
from each year.
No.
Yeah.
You got a 52?
Yep.
53?
Yep.
Get the fuck out.
A broadcaster.
We broadcast. You get them from Norm?
I got some from Norm, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I got everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
And one from each year up to what? Up to the CBS or?
No, up to about like, I guess, I probably up to about 90.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you play any of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. I you got to play
but
them.
They're beautiful. They're mint.
They're works of art.
Yeah. They're gorgeous.
The Broadcaster, the Nocaster, yeah. And the 52.
Yeah. 53, 54. Yeah.
I love that, man. And then I had 52. I also had 53. Then I had 59 Esquire. Esquire Custom. You know who has that now is John Fashante. And way I know it's mine all the time is somebody had wood burned into the green guard an Fender F perfect.
Wow.
Like some country dude. And it's the two-tone tobacco with the red sides though.
Wow, the Sienna sides.
I fucking love it, dude.
That's beautiful. Green guard.
Thank you so much for doing it. And follow him, John5 on Instagram and Twitter, and go see him live, get his solo record, and check out all the stuff we're talking about. He's played with everybody, you know. Check out two's not on iTunes except for one song.
Oh really?
Well, not that I could find. I'll relook, but Rob's got kind of a retrospect solo record thing up, and there's one song, I Am Pig or whatever. That's all I could find.
That's interesting.
I'll look again, maybe I searched it wrong. Yeah. You know,
maybe you looked under three or one.
No, I think I put in Rob Halford two. Maybe if I just put two, it'll come up.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. All right, guys. See you later. Candles lit. Subscribe. And also subscribe to my YouTube channel, Dean Del Rey, and leave a review on iTunes. See you guys.